what does the word father mean to you? What comes to your mind, what feelings and what emotions, what thoughts come to your mind and maybe to your heart when the word father is mentioned? Is it good, bad, in between? What impact or lack of it did your father have in your life? What difference does it make? Our father is important, and say, well, yeah, we're not going to have children without fathers. I don't mean that. But how important could a father be in our lives? What is the role of the father? How important is the role of the father? What difference does it make in the lives of little boys and girls as they're growing up? I'd like to take a look at that today, at what research shows, at our society, what's happening in our society. Obviously, we're going to look into God's Word because God reveals the truth there. I'd like to begin, though, with Malachi chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, a well-known prophecy in the book of Malachi about something that must happen, or God says that He will destroy the earth with utter destruction. But He predicts that He will do an end-time work, God does, and He speaks about an end-time Elijah. Malachi chapter 4. Verses 4 through 6. I think we all are pretty familiar with these verses. It says, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and the judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet." Now, the gospel writers made it clear that John the Baptist was a fulfillment of this prophecy. And Jesus also made that clear. But not the final and only fulfillment of this prophecy. "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And then I want to focus a little more on verse 6. And this end time Elijah, whoever he is, whether he's an individual that God raises up, or whether it's his church and his work that he uses as the Elijah, we'll have to wait and see. But verse 6 says, "And he," that is God, or through this Elijah, "will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." So it's pretty important, isn't it? You know, I used to wonder, and I've come to understand better over the years, I used to wonder, why did God just pick out fathers here? That in the end time, God's going to intervene and begin to stress through a servant that He raises up or move His church and work in incredible ways to begin to turn the hearts of fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Why? Why is that important? Many of us can maybe figure some of it out, but I'd like to read a little bit from a book that I've had for quite a while and several others. I want to point out to you from the research that has been done by people who serve in these fields of helping others, say about, for instance, the subject of homosexuality. This is from the book. Frank Worthen has written it. I've met this man. He's an older man now, I believe in his 70s, or I think he's still alive, not sure. But Frank Worthen is considered the father of the homosexual recovery movement. He was homosexual. He came out of that lifestyle, and he began programs of self-help to help others struggling with those issues in their lives. And so he's been in it most of his adult life in the homosexual recovery movement. And he writes this in his book. He says, "Most gay people cannot remember a time when they did not have homosexual feelings. they actually believe they were born gay. What research has proven is that the paths that we take in life are laid down at a very early age. It is said by experts in the field that a child knows if he is wanted or not by 6 months of age. And actually, now what they're discovering is that child knows earlier than that, even beginning in the womb. But this was written a number of years ago. During the period from 18 months old to 36 months old, his or her, a baby's, gender identity or sexual orientation is formed that early and becomes difficult to change from that point on. So it is not surprising that the message from the gay community that a person is born gay is accepted at face value by many people. Are we saying that people become homosexual at the early age of 3 years old? No. But the root causes of homosexuality and many other personality disturbances are all in place by that time. I have counseled thousands of former homosexuals and have learned much about the homosexual condition, having been in it himself as well. He says, I believe that the deepest root of homosexuality is a break in the relational bonds within the family, producing a lack of a sense of belonging or a lack of affirmation. The security of a child depends on a three-way bond. And we know God created these bonds. God created children, family, mother, father, these relationships. The security of a child depends on a three-way bond. Number one, mother to child. Number two, father to child. And the often overlooked and neglected bond of father to mother. Even the mother and father's relationship will affect the children and how they grow up and the strength of their gender identity. Any break in this triangle will produce insecurity in a child. It is important to state here that whether the break is real or only perceived by the child. What if a child in a family grows up and perceives that he's not loved or accepted or affirmed by a parent? Perceives it, even if they really do love them. But maybe they're not affectionate people. What if they're parents who've never loved to hold and hug and squeeze and kiss their children? The results come out the same. Whether the break in the relationship is real or perceived, the results are the same. The child is affected by the way he or she reacts to disruptions in the family unit. God has ordained the father to bear the responsibility for the family unit. The Bible says that. We know that. It is when the father abdicates his role that distortions set in. It is easy to see that the father is of vital importance in the development of male children in the family. The son should respect, honor, and desire to be like his father so that an identity transfer may take place. You know, others again in this field point out the reason, one of the reasons, we'll put it this way, one of the reasons there are many more male homosexuals than there are female homosexuals is that for the female baby who is nursed and cared for by the mother or someone who becomes the mother, is that there's no change in sexual identity. The little baby girl grows up and becomes like her mother or the woman who is her mother. Whereas the baby, the boy baby, you know, for a while he's nursed and cuddled and loved by his mother, but he's male. He's a boy. He's different. And there has to be, along the way in that baby's development, he comes to know, I'm not like mommy. I'm like daddy. But what if daddy isn't there emotionally or physically? or as, let me read on here. It says the father is significant to the female child as well in affirming her, loving her unconditionally and approving of her femininity. He prepares her for a healthy heterosexual development. As he expresses his love for her, and as she witnesses a strong bond of love between her father and mother, she perceives the goodness of the heterosexual relationship. For both the female child and the male child, the father provides stability and security. You see, we know from God's holy word that he created the man to be the head of the wife and to be the head of the family. And Satan has been out to destroy that and to destroy men and to weaken men and to make men not the way God wants them to be. He's destroyed families, hasn't he? We look at society and a lot of men are confused. Now, they're just mixed up because maybe they didn't learn this or develop this way growing up. It's very, very common. He goes on, just a few more quotes. Fathers should be equated with protection. And he's got that all caps, protection. I think that David Holliday recently commented on some of this in one of his sermons. An abusive father has betrayed his God-intended purpose, which is to protect and shield his family. The indifferent father, just the indifferent father, also has renounced his role and in some ways is more damaging in the development of the child. The emotionally absent father has abandoned his children just as much or more than a totally absent father. So let's say a father's around, but emotionally he's dead or near dead or has no emotions or feelings and doesn't express emotions and feelings in a healthy way with his children. And what he's saying is they're going to be hurt by that. They may perceive that their father does not love them, doesn't have time for them. Very little helpful little book and much research on the subject. Now, you know, the causes of homosexuality are very complex, and there are many. But I've come in my own 20-some years of studying and reading and knowing those who have this struggle, who've helped me as well to learn and understand it, that the basic root cause is given right in Scripture. God says, I created the man. I created him to be the head of the family. I created him to be the head of the wife and to be a certain way. And when Satan has attacked and destroyed men's masculinity, and they have not been the kind of fathers and husbands that God intended, the children are damaged. Not always destroyed, but damaged. So fathers, you see, are absolutely critical to healthy children, to healthy families. There are many women, mothers, and all who've had to raise children without that help of a strong, masculine, loving father. And they've done well, and God has been merciful. And others maybe have stepped in to try to be mentors or big brothers or like fathers to children in this case. Frank Worthen's wife is named Anita. He married later on after, with God's help, he was able to heal and recover. And not all homosexuals are able to do that. Some are able to recover from the damage in their early years of their life, and enough healing takes place that they are able to marry and have a family, and Frank Worthen was able to. And his wife authored a book, Anita Worthen, with a fellow named Bob Davies. He used to be, I think, president of Exodus International for a while, I believe. Anyway, the title of the book is Someone I Love is Gay, How Family and Friends Can Respond. So again, she's an older lady. She's been around, she's struggled with these issues. But my point in bringing out to you today is that tomorrow's Father's Day, You know, it can become just a holiday and a party time, but it's a very important day in its meaning when we understand what God says about the vital importance of fathers. United Church of God, for the first time that I'm aware of, in my years, my 45 years in the church, the United Church of God is putting out a magazine on the subject. It's called Anchor. This is privately financed. It's been approved by the United Church of God and the Council of Elders, but it's not produced at the home office. This magazine, Anchor, which is entitled A Message of Hope for Those Struggling with Homosexuality, is produced by ministers and members of the United Church of God. Melvin Rhodes is the editor, one of our pastors in Michigan. You may have heard of him. He also pastors and serves in Ghana, Africa, and he's the editor. I'm listed on it as one of the other helpers and putting it out. This is Focused Education Programs. Gary Antion, one of our ministers as well. And so you could see names on it. This is available to anybody who would want to request a copy. It's free, although they need help. But so what we have in the United Church of God, we do have ministers and members who are working together quietly, behind the scenes, trying to help people with this incredible problem in our society today. I think you all realize, you know, this issue of homosexuality is not going to go away. It's going to become a bigger and bigger issue in our society. And so it is important that we have the right attitude about it. You know, I'm not one of those who says, oh, you know, some people who are so ignorant of the issues of homosexuality, and that the main root cause, as Frank Worthen brings out and many others, the main root cause is a departure from God's laws and God's way of life, the breakdown of marriages and the breakdown of families. And so many will say, okay, but that doesn't answer why do some children in the same family, maybe where the father was absent or abusive or just wasn't there, and the boys grew up and didn't have the right role model, didn't have the loving affection growing up that they needed. How come some of those children become gay and others do not? What would you say? What do you think? How would you answer that one? The basic answer is every child within a family is unique and different. Some are much more sensitive than others to family breakdown, to marriage disruption. Each child is unique. And it doesn't happen necessarily to every child within a family. But that child within that family, whether real or perceived, is not bonding with the mother and especially the father, who's the head of the family. And that little child who may not be getting what God created children to need, even little baby boys, lots of love, lots of hugs. Daddy picking up little baby boy and just loving him and hugging him, and he grows up with that love need filled. Down in the Garden Grove congregation, when I was the pastor there, before coming back up here, I baptized two men who were gay, and that God had called out of the gay lifestyle in Southern California. They both had AIDS, and they both died of AIDS while they were in the church. We went through this together in the congregation. I gave sermons on the subject. They had repented. They did repent. And as I'll never forget, one of them telling me, as Leanne and I visited him, he said, I'm not afraid of dying because I know God has forgiven me of my sins and mistakes. He said, the only thing I'm really afraid of is the pain that I might suffer as I die of AIDS. And so we all prayed for him, and God was merciful, and he died very quickly, very swiftly. I still have letters from them saying that, you know, if you can ever share our lives once we're gone with others, please do. But I learned a lot from them and others as well, here as well, in this congregation, that God looks at things differently than we do. I've also encountered members of the church and members and even some elders, thankfully more and more of our ministers and elders are being educated to study into this subject, to want to understand it, so that as God does call, which He is, people out of every walk of life, every sin in the world, we're all sinners, we've all been called out of various sins of our youth and our past, that as God calls people out of this world into His church, including those who have struggled with this issue in their lives, that we have ministers, pastors, elders, and members who have the understanding and the love and the compassion and the acceptance. Not of the sin, not of the lifestyle, just like, you know, I don't think any of us would say, you just committed adultery. Is that all your life, or fornication, or you were just an alkie or a druggie or whatever your problem was? No, we wouldn't do that. We'd say, if that's under the blood of Jesus Christ, sin is sin. Especially when you understand that the homosexual attraction to the same sex, another term for it is called same-sex attraction, SSA, is used a lot today, is really the emptiness and the lack of that love that they should have received as they were growing up. If we could only realize that the greatest human need is the need for unconditional love and affection growing up. So you're going to run into many, many people today, and I dare say probably there's hardly anyone in here today, I would think, that hasn't had contact with someone who struggles with homosexuality, either male or female. There's a lot to learn about this subject. Instead of just saying, it's a choice. No, for some it is. The thing to understand is there are different types, categories, causes of homosexuality. Sure, anybody can choose to experiment with homosexuality, sex with the same sex. Anybody can choose to do that. Curiosity, being led into it wrongly, being attacked or abused, that's a different cause or a trouble or problem. But it's also very important to understand, as some of these people have been there, done that, and come out of it, and counseled thousands of people, there are many, many men and women who have always felt that way. Their main attraction has been to the same sex from the time they remember as a little child growing up. And that the only way you're going to help them is to understand that the main need they have is the need for love, which we all need, don't we? And Satan is out there, of course, always to lead any of us into a wrong way of fulfilling those love needs in our life. And that's just one of the ways that he does it. So I encourage all of you in this congregation, I'm going to start trying to talk about this occasionally, like I did in Garden Grove. I hope eventually we can have a seminar on the subject, you know, a special thing that we'll have, not during church services, where we'll really go into depth in this issue. And I want you to be able to hear from some who've struggled with the issue. We'll talk about it, so that if when you come into contact with someone who is struggling with this and they really genuinely, sincerely feel, I was born this way, God created me and made me this way, that you can handle that with wisdom and discretion and also with love, patience, and understanding. So how important is a father? Without fathers being the way that God intended for them to be, loving, kind, strong, there for their children, you'll have a society that more and more is breaking down, and more you will see wrong lifestyles. And that's what we see happening, isn't it, in America? And we're seeing it come to the point where people really think, well, I mean, it doesn't matter who you have sex with. I mean, homosexuality, it's just, what's wrong with it? Some people literally say, who does it marry? If a woman marries a woman or a man marries a man, they're in love. You know, they really feel that way, and they feel that they can't help it. They don't know any better, or they don't understand, or they're ignorant. You know, we as God's people and God's church must teach the truth of God's word, that that lifestyle is not of God, it is wrong, it is sinful. But at the same time, we must also teach and preach with love and understanding that might convict some of them to realize, aha, this is God's ultimate way. This is God's plan and God's purpose. A man and a woman, marriage, sex within marriage, children within that family, and little baby boys and girls growing up with a masculine father who loves them and is affectionate toward them. Let's go to some scriptures now and look at the Word of God on this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We know here God says through Paul, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And then verse 4, you know, one of the scriptures in the Bible that points out the father's responsibility. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath or anger. Don't pick at them or provoke them or always run them down. Main thing all children need is to know that they're loved unconditionally and are told that. And then when a father has to correct, the child knows that his father's doing it in love. But it goes on to say, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Do your very best. That's all we can do as fathers. Do our best to set an example of God's way and to train and teach our children God's way. That is a father's overall responsibility, God's word says. Father is the head of the wife and the head of the family. Doesn't mean that he's better or superior. It just means that's the role or the responsibility that God created the man to fulfill within marriage and within the family. But what I'd like to do, since we're wrapping it up, I'm not wrapping it up yet, but the last part of the sermon here, I would also like to focus on something else that's very, very important. Because there are many, many children that haven't had this blessing or benefit of growing up with a strong, loving father and a strong, loving mother who love one another. You know, some of these books you read, it points out, rightly so, that if you want well-adjusted children, one of the best things that a father can do is to love the mother of his children. That helps produce healthy children, too. Now, it doesn't guarantee it, because children, as they grow up and mature, are free moral agents. They've got a mind of their own, and they're going to make their own choices and decisions about things. And as children mature, they can decide, yeah, I see mom and dad's example, and they're happy, and they're blessed, but I'm going to try something else. That does happen. But if we pray for our children and put them in God's hands, He will be with them, and He will help them. But I'd like to focus here in the latter part of my message of the promises of God the Father, how He will step into the lives of those who need healing and help, that He'll be there. And this is a very, very important concept. Turn to Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6. So we know that physical fathers are very important to the proper development of both boys and girls within a family. So is the mother, of course, but I'm focusing today on the father because tomorrow's Father's Day. In Psalm 68, verses 5 and 6, you read this psalm. It says, speaking of God, He is a father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy habitation. God sets the solitary, some translations say, the lonely person in families. So we know that God, through his calling of people, through God's direct intervention in people's lives, and even in children's lives, you know, God can reach down and God can intervene in the lives of anyone, can't he? At any age. You know, this is the encouraging thing, that even though there are many broken families and many children that are the victims of broken families, that God will be there, and he can and will make up the difference. Turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John chapter 16. Here's something that we all need to really believe with our whole hearts, what Jesus said here. John 16, verses 25 through 27. He said, "These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language." I'm reading from the New King James. But he says, "I will tell you plainly about the Father. And that day that you ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for yourself or for you." What he's saying is that you will be able to pray to the Father yourself, because he was teaching them to pray and to pray to the Father. But verse 27 is what I wanted to emphasize. It says, Jesus said, "For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." So God loves us, doesn't he? You know, we've heard that. I heard that in Sunday school growing up. God loves you. And thankfully, it is true. God so loved the world, everybody in it, that he gave his only begotten Son. So it's very important for anyone from a broken family, especially if they've been alienated from their father, it's very helpful to have them come to know and understand about a heavenly Father, to understand the lessons they can learn and that God's love is there. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, God is saying here, speaking through Paul, who is quoting from the Old Testament, 2 Corinthians 6, 18, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So God does want to be like a father, our heavenly Father, our spiritual Father. God can directly put love into our hearts. God can bless our children. God can fill your needs. God can comfort you. Notice while we're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. So we're looking now today, and we've briefly seen, and there's just so much to learn about this, why fathers are so important. And we're pointing out here that a relationship with our heavenly Father, God in heaven, is even more important, because that's where healing comes from. If somebody is damaged, healing comes from God. But here and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble." But I hope those are comforting and encouraging verses. I want to begin to wrap it up, because we try to keep our service to about an hour and a half, so that we have an hour and a half for fellowship before everyone has to get out of the services. But turn with me to these interesting scriptures and see how Paul and Jesus addressed God the Father. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. And let me just ask you and your relationship with God, when you talk to God, your heavenly Father, when you pray to him, and I'm assuming that you do, that most of you believe in God and have a prayer life, a private time where you talk to God. That's just getting off privately and communicating with your God, your Father in heaven, who gave you life, who created you. Notice Romans 8, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Paul said, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption." In other words, we've been adopted by God as his children, as his sons. He's bringing us into his own family. By whom, Paul says, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You've probably heard this before, but what does it mean, Abba, Father? Why is this term used here? We'll go to a couple of other examples of it. But if you were to look in a commentary what does it mean, Abba, Father? This is an Aramaic term that the equivalent in our language today would be daddy. You know, daddy is a much more loving term. Father can be formal, you know, father, you know. But daddy, it was what, like papa, you know, maybe the old Italian song, papa. It's like daddy. This is a term, you know, when you come before God, you know, can you talk to, and you say, daddy, my daddy in heaven, my daddy who loves me. That's the term here. That we cry out to God in heaven and call him daddy. Let's see that scripture also over in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. God is our daddy, our real father. You know, our real physical fathers, they're critical in our lives. We wouldn't exist without them in any way. We wouldn't be normal without them. But our real father, who gave our physical father's life and gave us life, is our God, our Father in heaven. Mark chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. Okay, Mark 14, 34. "And he said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me." So this is toward the end of his life. "And he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said," notice the term that Jesus used when he was here crying before God, you know, pouring out his heart and soul before this severe trial that he was going to have to go through. Notice, he said, "Abba, you know, Abba, Father, my daddy, my father, all things are possible for you." And if it is possible, you know, you can just imagine him crying out and talking to his God, his father, his daddy about this. "If it's possible to take this suffering away from me, please, Daddy, do it. But if this is, you know, what is best for me, and it's the only way, then your will be done." So he was yielded to his daddy. So when Jesus called him daddy, and Paul said that we're to go to him as our daddy, crying out to him in that way. And let's turn to James chapter 1, and I'm going to close with this scripture, because it ties in with Pentecost on Sunday. I used it there. James chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. To realize this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, comes from God, comes down from the Father of lights, God the Father, our daddy, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, our daddy in heaven, our spiritual father who created all things and gives us life, he brought us forth by the word of truth. In other words, God gave us understanding, didn't he? God gave us purpose. God gave us goals beyond this life. God gave our life purpose and meaning. He brought us forth spiritually. He brought us forth physically, too, by his laws, but also spiritually, by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So I'd like you to encourage you, brethren, you know, tomorrow's Father's Day, just to remind you that fathers are vitally, critically important in the plan of God. Fathers who are loving, who are affectionate, who are strong, who are loyal, who are faithful, they're essential for both boys and girls as they grow up. And we all, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go into my pastor background, you know, I've done that too many times, but we all are dysfunctional to one degree or another. What is a dysfunction? It just means depending upon your childhood and your family dynamics as you were growing up as a child, depending on the amount of love and filling those emotional needs that you have growing up. And, you know, I'm thinking of my own past and background, and it really wasn't until God called me into the church and began to, you know, teach the things that he teaches about you need to learn and you need to grow and you need to overcome and you need to change and you need to move forward in your life. That, you know, I had to analyze, all right, here is my family dynamics in my life and how has that affected me as a man growing up? I had to, you know, I hope you have done that. I hope you realize that none of us has grown up in a perfect family with perfect parents. Some were have that blessing more than others. And so depending then, you know, if you can get a hold of that in your life, maybe some of you didn't have a father figure strong, a loving father or a father figure there in your life. And if that wasn't there, you know, that's a hole. That's a big hole in people's lives. So when you meet people in the world, you know, and they're seeking, what people are seeking out really is to fill those needs in their lives. There's emotional needs, spiritual needs, the need for love, the need for acceptance, the need for family, the need for friends. Those are the greatest needs in people's lives. And so we as God's people, you know, we have to learn and analyze our own situation and how functional and normal we are and where we might be dysfunctional. You know, in other words, you might be shut down. You might be kind of a shut down emotionally person. You don't like other people. You don't like to talk. You don't like to visit. You're shut down. And that just has to do with the way you grew up. You may say, well, it's my personality too. Yeah, we all have a God-given personality and temperament. But an awful lot of the way that I am is the way I grew up. And what I find is, if I don't keep focused and ask God for help, I revert back to my comfort zone and the way that I was growing up. And that's what we'll tend to do. So let's, maybe ladies today, why don't we honor the men? Why don't all the men stand? Because all men are fathers or potential fathers and are very important in the lives of children. So men stand, I'm standing, so if you don't mind standing up here, ladies, why don't you give the men just a big round of applause. And may I also ask, ladies, that you pray for us.